from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, and this version of the waiting game, I mean the Breland sweepstakes. Good Lord, I don't even know what to call it today, but we're going to talk about it. We've waited right up until the last minute to try and see if we can get you some information, but as I'll talk to you in a second about, nothing yet. So we're going to roll ahead with Thursday's episode now. Seth and I are going to talk about what Breland means and what overall it might mean for the Chiefs in general. So, and we will have probably a special edition or whatever as soon as we do hear something. So just keep an eye out for that. We are brought to you today by BlueChew.com. We'll tell you more about that later. But without any announcement at this point, let's get rolling. So we're back, and we have a lot to talk about. And at this point, folks, it's not confirmed. Nothing has been confirmed, yay or nay, on Brashad Breland. But Seth's here, and I know we've been thinking about it. Initial take, like, what's your thought about him as a player?
Well, I have pretty positive thoughts about Breland, and I actually know more about him than I normally would. An opposing player, I review some guys, but not a ton, just because ain't nobody got time for that. So if you're not one of my baseline players that I review, I probably haven't watched a lot of you. But him, I got to watch a fair amount of because Kendall Fuller. And I like him. I think he looked like he popped to me a couple times when I was watching Fuller's film. I actually got to watch most of a game of his because I'm reviewing Tyreek Hill's film right now. Now, Hill gave him trouble. To be fair, Hill gives everyone trouble. Except Jenkins with the Giants did all right against him. But I digress. But he looks solid. Ian Wharton likes him, and that means the world to me because Ian is the best there is.
And I concur.
Yeah, and he likes him as a press corner particularly. It seems to be a good fit with what they're doing. And so I like him, especially when you consider the Chiefs' current corner situation.
Well, see, and that's what we got to talk about. And let's start with what you said about Ian because – I think we both agree we can trust his opinion, but here's the thing. He may like him as a press corner, but the Redskins didn't because I've watched his film too. Probably not as much as you. I've probably only gone back and seen two and a half games at this point, but he didn't play press a whole lot. They did that fall off zone stuff, which makes me again question a number of things, but in particular, can they stick with their continued scheme of trying to press or at least play tight man? Because we all know Bob's not going to jam anybody.
Right. And that's, I do agree. They didn't have him playing actual press, which is interesting. Well, the Redskins didn't do that with everyone. You know what I mean? They did a lot of zone, and that's what we talked about with Kendall Fuller. But yeah, he seems like he's capable of being physical, jostling guys on their routes and redirecting them. And Sutton does do a lot of that. Yes. You know, we have this like fantasy of 90% press because of stuff David Amerson said. I'll believe it when I see it. and also, you and I have talked about this. It's not like press coverage is this magical elixir that fixes everything. There are inherent dangers to press coverage. There's a lot of risks to it. And after just watching Hill, I know that.
Right.
But he does. I mean, he knows where to go in zone. He knows where to be. He can stick with guys in man. I would call him based on what little I've watched. Now I haven't charted him. I'd say he's a league average starter. And you know what? They need a league average starter and all due respect to Nelson and Amerson. But if you add one more, if guy in there, that only increases your odds of hitting on him. Cause now, right now we need to hit on both Nelson and Amerson unless some dark horse comes out of nowhere. Right.
And I completely agree with you. And here's my thing is what that tells me overall is that, the Amerson experiment is causing some friction because if you're happy with all he said, hey, we're going to press 90%. Okay. We're not there. But even if you were only going to do half that, if you're happy with David Amerson right now, you're not talking to Brashad all the time.
Well, yeah,
sorry, bro. It's terrible. But Brashad, you're not talking to him if you're comfortable with David Amerson. And I think they're fairly comfortable with Nelson. So I'm putting most of the onus on Amerson.
And I could see that. I think part of it might be a depth thing. I mean, we've seen what's happened every year. Every year, a corner gets hurt. And so depth makes sense. You want guys that you're comfortable with starting. Otherwise, you're marching Phillip Gaines out there on crucial snaps. And so I agree with you in part, though. I mean, I think if they were, like, thrilled with Amerson, I don't know if they talked to a guy like Breland. I mean, because at the same time, it's not – I mean, they didn't draft any corners except for Smith in the sixth round. So they're being very tough to read about this whole situation. I think – I could be wrong here. This is an opportunity to get a guy that they think is okay at maybe a decent price. I mean, he
certainly had less than what was his Panthers? It was 3-24, right?
Yeah, and so $8 million a year. Which, to be fair, if you think a guy is going to be a pretty good corner, that's a pretty decent deal. Like 8-24, that's a decent deal for a good corner, or for even a guy who's a little better than average. But if you can get a guy that you think might be average or a little better than average for you know, a one-year $6 million deal or one-year five, you know what I mean, some kind of prove-it deal or something a little lower than that for a couple of years, I'm not going to be upset with that because there's a lot of uncertainty in that corner room after Kendall Fuller, who, again, is entering a new system for the first time. So as much as I like him, he's not a sure thing.
Right, not a sure thing, but we've seen him have skills. But –
correct.
This is what it brings me back to overall. And this is not, you know, I'm not on a rant about Bob. I said weeks ago, folks, stop it.
Do it. Seth, just do it.
You, Seth will be the voice
you
know of
you want to.
I know, right? But folks, okay. I said it weeks ago. If Andy and the staff have faith in Bob that it was talent, not scheme, then I'll give him another year and I'll bite my tongue. But here's the thing. Between you and me and the folks listening, if they get themselves in a situation where they have Fuller, who is traditionally, and I'm not saying he can't change, everybody can evolve, but I'm saying he's traditionally a zone corner. You sign Breland, he's traditionally a zone corner. You have Amerson, he's traditionally a zone corner. Is it possible if they get themselves in a situation where they're getting beat deep because they're not that good in man, they're not good pressing because they haven't done it that much, is Bob good enough to adapt the defense to the personnel he has rather than trying to adapt the personnel to his scheme? Because I hope so.
I've seen Sutton make adjustments, but it's over the course of seasons. It's not – it's not usually when one game at a time or anything like that. You'll see him adapt to injury and that kind of stuff. I mean, he did it when Barry got hurt back in, or not when he got hurt, but when he was diagnosed. So I've seen him do it. It just takes a little longer than I'd like. I think you're going to see an attempt at man. And I do think if it's disastrous, it's not like the Chiefs never play zone coverage. They're in it 30% right. of the time or so. And so I do right. think you'd see more of a shift to that. It just all depends on, you know, if what they're seeing on film is this is working and this is not. I do think they'll move away from it. But, yeah, the question is how long. And that is a concern. But I do think Breland does demonstrate the skills to comfortably, I think, play in a man scheme. And I think Kendall Fuller does as well. Amerson, well, we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, that's. I think you and I agree pretty much since day one that right. this is a big question mark, not a, hey, you have a new starter in Dave Amerson. So
right, yeah, I have a lot more faith, like you said, in Steven Nelson.
And I wonder, and this is the interesting thing to me, if they do end up with Breland, and again, folks, we're trying to talk philosophically because we don't know the answer yet, but if Bashaud Breland's on this team, he's an outside guy, right? Which means Nelson most likely is in the top three, but goes back on the inside if you're going to match him up by skills, right?
I would think so. The whole thing to me makes the most sense if right now you've got one guy that you know you're going to slide inside, and that's Fuller. And I don't see why you wouldn't do that. Like, kind of, again, I really like the way the Broncos use Harris Jr. They use him as a boundary guy on like 30% of the snaps because he's a good corner. You don't want him off the field. But right, then, yes, but then you, but then they use him inside on the majority of snaps because they need an inside corner and he's great at it. I think that's what you do with Fuller. I think with Nelson, let's say they take on Breland and Amerson, I really think it is a just best two are on the field, and the third guy or the fourth guy, or three out of those guys, I suppose, but technically the fourth corner, I think he's a guy that gets on the field in much more limited circumstances unless there's an injury. So I like that idea, like a dogfight for a spot. Sure. I don't know how much movement there's really going to be provided Fuller's healthy, because I think he's got that inside spot locked down.
Yeah, I think so too. But like you said, competition is a good thing, especially for Amerson on a one-year deal. However this ends up with Nelson and Breland, you know, guys fighting for their future, whether it's on this team or not, is a good thing for the Chiefs.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I think we've talked it to death. If we haven't confirmed at the beginning of this show, folks, we'll confirm after, but let's take a break. We'll come back and switch gears. Our sponsor today is Blue Chew, and they want to know something from you. Do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bedroom. Listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships theirs direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. Use the special code of LOCKEDON and just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com. The promo code is Locked On, and try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today.
All right, we're going to switch over from defense, because let's face it, the defense is a little more a lot of ifs and maybes and somewhat depressing things. And I want to talk about the offense. Ryan, Tyreek Hill, your thoughts?
Oh, I like him.
The man can play. Is he fast or is he slow? See, we're going to really start this off.
Wait, here's the thing, and that's not even the question for me. Is he fast or is he quick?
Oh.
Because the answer is both.
Yes, it is. And so I'm curious. So I've got a film review of Tyreek Hill. That's one that I really wanted to make sure I did before the season started back up again, and people want to see new film, which I'm so excited for that first preseason game and having film to review. You don't even know. But Tyreek Hill was one I wanted to get done, and you can find that at The Athletic, where I happen to write, Ryan. I don't know if you know that. And so –
I didn't know that you wrote.
Yeah. You write stuff? How? I just thought you did podcasting. So –
Oh, that's what people say about me. Sorry.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, with me, it's usually like, I didn't know you were so short or things like that. So that's fun. But anyway, here's the thing with Hill. So I reviewed multiple games of him, including like the Giants to see what was different about that game, the Jets game because he went off that game, the Pats game, just a few games just to see what he brings to the table. Here's the thing with Hill. There really is, and tell me, because you're a numbers guy. You look at the physical traits of guys a lot better than I do. Like, you know, it's spark, right? That's what you use, right?
Spark is dead. Oh, my Lord. Folks, spark is dead. Spark was originally written to test high school athletes in things like the overhead med ball toss. Spark is dead. The athletic matrix is the future. It's the next evolution. And what it is looking at specific combine scores, not anything that you have to adjust for weight. Because honestly, if you take, you know, Demaryius Thomas and Ty Hill and try to compare them, pound for pound doesn't matter, because Ty Hill's going to beat you to a spot every time.
Yes.
So it's the most ridiculous metric in the history of metrics. But
sure.
Beyond that, the best thing about Ty Hill is that he's got both. He has elite downhill speed, and we all know that. We've
sure.
seen it.
Sure.
But he's nearly as elite in terms of his change of direction
right.
and how quickly he can accelerate away from defense. I mean, you remember that plant, the plant foot that Jamal would put down,
yes.
and the next thing you know, he's 3 foot the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Tyreek has the same thing.
He does have that. And that's something that I've been paying particular attention to, because there are fast guys that are not – quick. One of the things mm-hmm. that makes Tyreek Hill as fast as he is he's it was funny, I watched the sports science thing on him, and normally I think sports science is kind yeah. of a lot of fluff, but they made a good point about him when they said his unique gait and the way he runs, his feet are in contact with the ground like 80% of the time, which, you know, sounds bad in theory, but in practice, that means you're getting push 80% of the time, as opposed to just flying through the air, which is essentially a moment where you're on cruise control. That's why some guys are called striders, right?
Chris Conley.
Yes. It takes them a while to get going.
I love the guy. But
yes, he's a strider. It takes him a while to get going. And here's the thing with Hill, the athletic matrix, that reflects the fact that he is not only, people just talk about his deep speed, but he is an elite leaper. He has great quickness. He has incredible change of direction. And you see that on film last year. He is just an exceptional. I would say people, oh, he's the fastest man in the NFL. I think he might be the best athlete in the NFL. He is.
He may be. And here's the scariest part. When he learns to run routes, he's going to be incredible.
Right, and that's the other thing. I actually kept track of the types of routes that he ran against the Patriots. Yeah, when he learns to run routes. Okay, I refuse to be baited. But anyway, here's the thing. He really
But he can improve.
Oh, yes.
Round routes.
Yes. You see him round routes.
He has ways to improve, folks. He's not done.
Yes, you see him round out routes more than he should. You see him waste steps. That's a real problem for him. Not consistently. But here's the difference between 2017's film and 2016's film. In 2016's film, it was constant. You know, now he wasn't a terrible route runner, but he wasn't very good at it. Whereas in 2017's film, there were flashes of difference. So he'd have some routes where that he rounded off, but he had some where he didn't. And the ones where he where
well,
he,
and here's the thing that they always talk about. What's the magic time in a wide receiver's career?
Year three.
It's always the third year. You get it to all come together, and the fact that he's been so successful, basically just on athletic ability,
right?
When his reading improves, when his route running improves, he can be an all pro.
Yes,
at this position, and that's when was the last time the Chiefs had a wide receiver that ilk?
Right. And that's my overall takeaway is the reality is he was a very good receiver last year. And that was based mostly on his physical talent. Now, he improved his route running. He did. He is no longer a bad route runner. He's an inconsistent route runner. And certain routes he does very well with. But like that plant foot you described, he really worked on kind of developing a jab step inside. He's really worked on only taking one or two steps in these ins and outs and cuts. And you did see more double move, triple move, combination routes. And those just destroyed defenders when he got his feet right. And the thing with Hill is the margin of error is much greater. He doesn't have to get his feet completely right. He doesn't have to be a perfect route runner because his physical advantage is so huge. And so here's the thing I would say with him. Also, this last year, 2017, was really his first year as a full-time wide receiver ever.
Right.
And so the idea that he's hit his ceiling now, maybe he has, maybe he's someone who just can't learn route running. You know, we see it, but the reality is he improved from year one to year two in his route running. And by a fair amount, he has these ridiculous ball skills. He's got incredible speed and incredible quickness and solid strength for a guy his size. And again, it was only his first year as a full-time receiver. The idea that he somehow maxed out in his first year as a wide receiver, that seems harder to believe to me than the idea that he could still improve. And again, if you turn Tyreek Hill into a consistently solid route runner, not great, not anything like that, but a consistently solid route runner, he is all pro level. He is top three, four receiver.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing, like you said, Those stutter steps, those second and third moves, he doesn't need third moves. Yes, there are patterns where you want to get a guy turned and a double move is appropriate, but there's still wasted effort in Tyreek Hill's routes. And that's the thing. When he gets efficient to the point where every step is either setting up or accelerating away from a defender, then he's a guy that is going to be open literally every play.
And he talked about that a lot last year. Working on routes. And so this is where we're really going to see it. I remember saying before Kelsey's second healthy year that we would need to see whether he's content being very good or if he wants to be great. Because he was already a very, very good player, right? But he did have a few things he needed to work out with route running. He came back the next year and was one of the best route runners in the NFL at his position.
Yeah.
And remains so to this day. So it'll be interesting to see if Hill is content being very good, because some players are, or if he wants to be great, because he really could be a great wide receiver.
We got to pay some bills. We'll take one more second. We'll come back. I got one more point we should make about Tyreek Hill. And I think the level of competition coming up on the cornerback side is another thing that's going to help him. Because the good thing that we have here, in whether the acquisitions continue or not, but just Emerson and Fuller and guys that have experience outside of this system, is that especially guys that are better playing off, they can anticipate routes.
Mm-hmm.
They have more cushion to work with. So now he's got to work better at setting that fake up,
right,
at setting that plan, accelerating away. So I think that only helps him, really.
I would agree with that completely. I wish I could think of something to disagree with. Oh, on one final note. One final note with him, you know, there was a lot of talk. You know, people were talking to Jalen Ramsey, and Ramsey's a confident dude, and he's a great corner. And so, I mean, what's he going to say? Oh, these guys, I'm afraid of them. He's obviously not going to say that, but they talk about, well, what are you going to do about Watkins and Tyreek Hill? Those guys are, you know, they're ridiculously fast. And he said some nice things about them, too. But his thing was, oh, I just think you press him. And I got to tell you, I've got multiple clips,
please,
that have been on Twitter that are in the article, where if you press Hill, if you win 4 out of 5 times, but you lose that fifth time, you still lose.
Yeah, and he runs how many routes? That's 4 touchdowns, right?
that's the problem. If you press Hill successfully a couple plays in a row, that doesn't matter, because the first time you lose pressing him, you better have safety help over the top, or he is gone.
Yeah, it's 6.
Yep.
Oh, I think it's going to be great to watch. Folks, we're going to have more of this. Chris is on vacation, so it's going to be a lot of me and Seth. So we'll try to find something to disagree about eventually.
One of these days we will. I think we should talk about that Bob Sutton's a little underrated, and I think that might get us there.
Okay. It's over. That and we're going to show you Mitch Morse's beard. All right.
Hey, folks. Hey.
Enjoy your Thursday. We'll be back with you tomorrow and plenty more next week. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review, and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.